Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Graybar Sports Open Line continues on this Tuesday evening. Nate Gatter back with you in for Matt Pauley this evening. Kevin Wheeler will have you tomorrow. I'll be back with you for Thursday night Graybar Sports Open Line. If you missed anything, you can go back and hear it on the free Odyssey app. Josh Schertz, Amy Markscores joined us in the first hour talking Billikens and Blues, respectively. In the second hour, we're going to talk to Jen Cease here in just about 10 minutes on St. Louis City, hiring new sporting director Corey Ray, as well as some of the other events going on around the club. We'll also talk some Mizzou football later on in this second hour as well. Nate Gatter, producer Kyle Sixta back with you here on 104.1 FM KMOX. Mentioned the Cleveland Guardians relief pitchers who were indicted this week. Those indictments were announced on Sunday by the Eastern District of New York. Luis L. Ortiz and most notably Emmanuel Clase of the Cleveland Guardians. Clase, a three-time All-Star, two-time American League Reliever of the Year. Clase, in particular, provided lots of material, non-public information to some betting co-conspirators who actually placed the bets, who were reportedly from the native Dominican Republic of both Clase and Ortiz. In Clase's instance, the information in total, combined with the more significant allegations having to do with the essentially purposely throwing balls in order to help those bettors win bets, totaled about $400,000 of winnings for the bettors through those fraudulent wagers. Clase would, and Ortiz would, although toward the end, he really came into it just as they were getting caught, which is a bad time to come into, as they say in The Wire, a criminal effing conspiracy, which is exactly what was happening between these guys. So Clase would relatively routinely in April, May, and June, according to the indictment, purposely throw either a ball or purposely throw a ball that was either a fastball or a breaking ball so that the bettors could bet on it to be a ball, or in some cases could parlay the bet, meaning they would bet on it to be a ball and to be above or below a certain velocity. And you can bet quite a great deal of money on these particular pitches, and he would always do it on the first pitch of an inning, making it easy for the bettors to know it was coming and to have time to get their bets in, and that sort of thing. Already, Major League Baseball has responded to this, sportsbook, in coordinating with major sports books in the country to limit pitch wagers to $200 at most, meaning no one could bet more than $200 on a specific pitch. So presumably now this would not be worth enough money. Although it sounds like Class A was getting relatively low. There weren't particular bribe figures thrown out on the pitches that Class A was throwing, but we did get them in the indictment relating to Ortiz's pitches. That Ortiz was getting $5,000 a couple of different times, and Class A was getting seven for helping to set it up. So, or once it was five, and once they both got seven, I should say. Once they both got five, once they both got seven. So for those two pitches, $12,000. Even if Class A did this another dozen times, another two dozen times, you know, the bettors, if they won $400,000, they're only going to give him so big a cut of that, right? They got to get the majority of it to make it worth what they're doing. So, but let's say at the absolute maximum, Class A got half of the overall winnings, and he got $200,000. Emmanuel Clase just threw away his entire career and quite possibly his freedom, because they're both facing up to 65 years in federal prison. Now, it's very unlikely they would serve anything close to that. In most cases in the federal system, defendants will get plea deals, because it's very rare, as Chauncey Billups is finding out, as Terry Rozier might find out, although his situation is a little bit different. It's very rare for federal prosecutors to bring charges they aren't 100% confident in. Normally, it's about strategy of plea deal and exchanging information more so than it is making some kind of argument at a trial and getting an acquittal. There are rare circumstances, but it is very rare in federal court that a criminal defendant goes to court and is acquitted. So we can, these guys are innocent until proven guilty. The prosecutors themselves would tell you that. But it is very unusual that federal prosecutors don't get their guys post-indictment in this kind of a situation. So it is enormously likely that Emmanuel Clase threw away his career. It is more likely than not, certainly, that he will serve some time in prison in order to make at most a couple $100,000. Probably not even that. But let's say low six figures, somewhere in there, is what he probably made out of this. He's made almost $15.4 million in his career. He made $4.5 million this year. He had an additional $8 million in money that was guaranteed to him, now no longer will be. Difficult to estimate exactly when he would have been a free agent and what his earnings would have been, because the Guardians had two team options on the back end. So it was $6 million for next year, and then there were two additional team options. And the reason I say it was $8 million guaranteed is because to buy out those options, they would have owed him $2 million. And those options weren't even set in value because they have to do with performance incentives, but he would have made at least $8 million more. And those options likely would have been picked up barring some kind of catastrophic arm injury, because Class A has been the best relief pitcher in all of baseball over the last few years. And they would have been worth at least $10 million a year. So it's safe to say that he had, in close to guaranteed money, another $25 to $30 million coming over the next 3 years. And then he would have been a free agent still in his early 30s and likely to command, if he pitched anywhere close to this level, a probably $100 million-ish dollar contract, give or take, right? Depending on the number of years. If he were a free agent this offseason, it'd be at least $100 million that he would command, because he'd command at least a five-year contract, potentially longer than that. So we're talking about a guy here who, at an absolute guaranteed minimum, threw away $8 million. In likelihood, threw away between $100 and $150 million, maybe even more, to get most likely $100,000 to $200,000 in illegal bribes to throw first pitch balls. Some of the most damning evidence, by the way, if you didn't read the indictment or the stories about it, is when Clase threw a slider in the dirt on a first pitch to Andy Páez of the Dodgers, who swung at it. And one of the alleged co-conspirator bettors, who supposedly lost $4,000 on that pitch, texted Clase some unsavory emojis, basically saying what a shame that was. And Class A responded with apparently a crying dog face. So he was very disappointed, although this is a game where he didn't pitch badly and Cleveland won the game. So unclear why he would have been so sad, unless obviously the feds know what they're talking about. And Class A did, in fact, do that stuff. So pretty, I think it's just kind of sad and pathetic. You wonder about what it says about the future of sports gambling in this country, which I think was a big mistake, and I think some folks are realizing that. And the response you get, usually from people who are thousands of dollars in deep with these various sports books, is that, well, folks would just do it under the table, right? Like, this makes it actually better because folks are getting caught because we have regulated sports books. And in some certain instances, that might be true. When you're talking about, like, college basketball and the mob, right? Because we had instances where the mob was getting involved in trying to fix college basketball games well before sports gambling was legal in the United States. So maybe you can make that argument in certain instances. In the vast majority of instances, this is people who never would be betting with an illegal mob bookie or finding some offshore sports book to gamble at. The reason they're getting into sports gambling and the reason they're then getting down this road that leads to fraud and criminality is because it's legal now. And so it's right in front of them because it's advertised all the time on billboards, because there are official sports books of Major League Baseball, or of, because the St. Louis Cardinals and the Kansas City Chiefs and every sports team and their mother want to build some kind of mixed use casino sports book facility where they can make even more money off of you. Right? This is why it's grown. We were not talking about it in this way before sports gambling was legal in the United States. And it's not because a bunch of Emmanuel Class A's were out there spiking sliders for the mob. Right? That wasn't happening. Because an illegal sports book offshore or through the mob is not giving you odds per pitch. They're not saying, yeah, you can bet $4,000 with me on Emmanuel Class A to throw a first pitch ball. Because if you're looking for a mob bookie to bet on Emmanuel Class A to throw a first pitch ball, it's because you know he's going to throw a first pitch ball. The only reason you'd be doing that is because you've rigged it. Right? No mob bookie's going to take that. And in fact, he's not going to take any of your other action. And if you call him again, he's going to break your legs. So that's going to regulate itself. You don't need to worry about it. Unless it's the mob actively doing it. And I don't think they're in that business quite as much anymore. I think that's just not really what they're doing the way they might have been before. So all of that is to say, it's just a real shame, and hopefully we can get away from it. Already MLB is taking some action. I think in the not-too-distant future, we're going to see sports books completely, whether they're forced to or do it voluntarily, we're going to see them completely eliminate individual player prop bets in college sports, because those kids are just too exposed to getting manipulated for relatively small bribes. It's too easy to get to kids who just don't make millions of dollars. It should be hard to get to an Emmanuel Class A. Apparently it wasn't. It should be hard. It's much easier to get to a low major college basketball player. So this is not the end. This is not the end. It's probably just the beginning, and we're probably headed toward a long, dragged-out fight of trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube, and I'm not sure what that's going to look like, especially now that not only sports books and betting companies, but also sports leagues and sports television networks and sports teams have so much money wrapped up in sports gambling. It's going to be very difficult to put that toothpaste all the way back in the tube, and I think ultimately that's to the detriment of competitive integrity and our sporting society. We'll talk to Jen Cease on St. Louis City. That's coming up after this. You're listening to Graybar Sports Open Line on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music. While you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call. Because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Graybar Sports Open Line continues on KMOX 104.1 FM, 1120 AM, and on the free Odyssey app. On Twitter, on Facebook, we're on YouTube, wherever you're else you're streaming KMOX, you can get in on the conversation by tweeting us, by commenting, by calling 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. Kyle Sixta is standing by to take your calls, but not for the next couple of minutes, because Jen Cease is with us of our own KMOX, and all over, speaking of somebody who's on all your social media pages, Jen Cease certainly is, and all of her St. Louis City coverage, and she's going to let us in on a little bit of what's been going on in the early offseason for City. Jen, how you doing?
Soccer never ends, Nate.
It never does. In this case, I mean, in MLS circles, it kind of feels like it literally never does. Because, I mean, we just got through the first round of the playoffs. And you and I are pretty deep into St. Louis City offseason storylines already. So let's talk, first of all, about the biggest news for the moment, which is Corey Ray, the new sporting director for St. Louis City, former MLS Next Pro Executive of the Year in 2022 when he was with Columbus Crew 2, been an assistant GM in Toronto. He had kind of a nebulous soccer role with Montreal most recently, where he was very much involved in the high-end workings of the club, but also was not the final decision maker. He talked about that some of the press conference. Let's start big picture. What were your biggest takeaways or impressions of your first time hearing him speak at that press conference?
You know, it was really great being there, and boy, is it really a departure from Lutz, I think. If you've gotten to know Lutz Sandenstiel over the years, and I know, Nate, you had known Lutz early on, Corey is just a very different personality. I think he... just getting to know him, a different kind of way he speaks to the media, at least so far. And it seems like a little bit of a different approach he might try to have when it comes to scouting. Now, he didn't, of course, you know, lay all his cards on the table. I think he'd only really been in St. Louis for like 3 days and had to go back, of course, across the border to Canada. And he hasn't gotten his family settled or anything like that. But he did talk a little bit about wanting to take a look closely at data analytics and making sure those were making a big part of the decision making. And I'm not saying that Lutz didn't do that, but I think Lutz also really weighed heavily on the eye test and fit of personality and things like that. So it'll be really interesting to see what Corey Ray does in terms of how he looks at who's going to make a good fit at whatever particular position for the team, and also given how the team's going to play in their next style. Is it going to be City's first debut as a team? Is it going to be that 2.0 that Lutz Sandenstiel wanted to have? So it'll be interesting to see. I think we've only seen the beginning of Corey Ray.
You know, it's interesting. I hadn't even really thought about it until you were comparing, you know, his personality and the way he was dealing with the media to Lutz. The other element of that is that he's dealing with kind of a very different media than Lutz Sandenstiel was dealing with when he first came into the role, which was a media that kind of reflected a city and a fan base so excited to have a team. And Sandenstiel was coming in, but well before the opening kickoff of the first team, and then into that first season when it was just all sunshines and rainbows out of the gate. Now Corey Ray's kind of coming into a fan base, into a city, and to, as a result, a media environment where folks are maybe a little bit more jaded now after a couple of unsuccessful seasons, maybe a little bit more skeptical of what they're hearing from a St. Louis City microphone behind a podium, right? So he's having to grapple with that, which was not his own doing. He didn't create this situation, but he's coming into one where folks are a little bit disappointed and frustrated.
There, you got a really great point there. I hadn't really thought about that, but you're right. You know, Lutz Sandenstiel came in when just the city was, you remember, just so excited that we got a team now. Finally, we deserved a team for so many years. We are the soccer capital of the United States. Let's go. And what a crazy first year we had, right? And then you had the disappointing second year and the disappointing third year, and it just kind of got worse from there. So yeah, Corey Ray is walking into an environment where he's got to prove something up, much like, you know, when David Critchley took over or John Hackworth took over as interims. They've got to kind of prove up to a jaded audience. Now, as I understand, our St. Louis media, Midwest media, is rather friendly, maybe compared to European media or the coast medias. So I didn't get any impressions there, but there definitely were some already, you know, really good questions about from the media about how are you going to take this approach given this crazy first season, but the fact that there were improvements to be made, and we certainly saw those places that got hidden in City's first year. Like City didn't always play great under Bradley Carnell. We won in that first year, but the style of soccer had holes in it, and it became exposed in year two and year three. So how is Corey going to make sure he fills those gaps? And how is he really going to work with utilizing staff and filling staff roles? He made a point several times in this press conference to say that he's not going to be doing this alone. You know, he's not a one-man band. He's not going to do this alone. He sees some gaps, I think, in some of the decision-making process when it comes to scouting locally, scouting internationally, scouting domestically, and how you put those together and how the city team as a whole. He didn't say specifically who, but I'm thinking he's talking about staffing as well as maybe up to the front office of how they work and communicate together. So I think he's looking to make some pretty broad changes.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see exactly how that dynamic unfolds. John Hackworth is expected to stay with the club as technical director, even though he was reportedly one of the finalists, along with Brentford technical director Lee Dykes, the Premier League, who Corey Ray beat out in the late stages of the process to get the City sporting director job. You mentioned Bradley Carnell, who, of course, has now been MLS Manager of the Year in Philadelphia this season. We talk about John Hackworth. We talk about David Critchley, who have had their turns as interim head coaches of City at different points. Hackworth a couple of seasons ago and Critchley this year. And all of that leads toward the first big Corey Ray decision, which is who is going to be St. Louis City's manager going into next season. The good news is City beat their timeline pretty considerably on getting a sporting director in. So Corey Ray is not quite as far behind the eight ball as maybe you might have expected at the time that Lutz Fanenschiel was let go, because it looked like things were going to get really messy with those timelines. At the same time, City have been without a permanent manager since May. So this is, we're getting into a long absence here without a permanent manager, and he's going to be coming into a search that presumably is at least sort of underway. What impression did you get about what he's going to prioritize in a manager?
You know, he wouldn't really get really granular when it came to, you know, style of play or what he specifically wants, but he did talk about the fact that it's got to be somebody he can work with. So it's got to be somebody that can communicate with him, that can work with him, cooperate with him, that understands what City, and this is going to also include Diego Gigliani. And to your point that you just made, you know, Diego was taking a lot of heat for being involved in saying, you know, first earlier in the season, like, hey, I'm not really going to make those sporting kind of on the field decisions. Well, when we lose Lutz Fanenschiel, Diego Gigliani is doing exactly that. So I think it's good. It gets him a heat off Diego's back in terms of having somebody there that can make those choices. But when it comes to a coach, I think it's going to be who fits the style of play that they decide to do and who can make those decisions, who can work with the players that Corey wants to bring in. So I think they're going to have a shared vision. Now, I'm also going to say, they know bones about the fact that I'm a Critch fan. I like David Critchley. I like John Hackworth. I think, you know, if he could work well with either one of those, I think that they would do a great job. David Critchley's already got the team. He's already won the locker room. He's already knows the players believe that he will work with them. So it'll be interesting. I would love to be behind closed doors to see if Critch could work with somebody like Corey Ray and see if he actually has a chance at that. But I think it's going to be, can this be somebody that can work with me on these decisions and then utilize the players I recruit and collect for the club the way we envision?
Yeah, and some of that recruiting, if you will, has already been done with Roman Berkey signing that contract extension as a designated player that was announced in that final home game. Really cool announcement, the way they did it, announcing it for the fans there in the stadium rather than initially on social media, as would normally be the case. So that takes up a DP spot, but still, City have a pretty good amount of roster flexibility. There's expected to be a decent amount of turnover. I would think that's an attractive situation for a new sporting director to come into, knowing that he's not going to be locked into a whole lot of roster decisions that are kind of hangovers from a previous regime.
Yeah, I would think so. If you're somebody that really wants to dig your hands in and get dirty, if you will, that I think, and it seems like he likes that. He really wants to figure things out. He talked about being a process person, that if there's a process to have, he's always noodling on how to make it better. So I think the more Corey has to work on, the impression I got is the happier he might be. Now, as you know, Nate, as well as I do, time is not on City's side. Time is not on anybody's side right now. They've already been a little bit behind the eight ball. They've got to work with the players that they currently have. We know Ben Munt is returning with the team as a backup goalkeeper for Roman Berkey. I think that was a great choice. But we have a lot of other players that City has to decide on, contracts that we just simply haven't heard on. So I think there's a lot for him and Diego. And maybe if they're already talking to a coach, who knows, got to figure about the current players. And then they need that time to be able to go out and get players and do so quickly. I think David Critchley made a really good point earlier in this season, especially as he was trailing off towards the end of it, of saying having a solid preseason is so, so important. It was really hard for Hack. It was really hard for Critch to come in as interims and try to be successful when you didn't have preseason to lay the ground. So I think the sooner that City can not only get their coach in place, but start really deciding on these players as well, only bodes best. They've got to get started sooner than later, and it can't be after January 1.
Jen Cease of KMOX is with us here talking St. Louis City. Jen, one more for you as you're talking about kind of where we're at in the offseason and what's to come. This is putting you on the spot a little bit, but it's as open-ended as you want it to be, whether it's one of those returning player or existing players but who are on expiring contracts who you want to bring back, whether it's an area of the field that you want to see them bolster with players from the outside, whether it's just something stylistically you want to see them do or get back to. What would be your top priority or two that comes to mind if you were in Corey Ray's position and if you had that, maybe even if you were in Carolyn Kindle's position and you had the overarching authority to do whatever you wanted with St. Louis City this offseason, what would you be prioritizing?
Well, as you know, I've talked about it before, I like speed. I don't think City's fast enough as a team as a whole. Do we have a couple, like, you know, Zhang? Do we have a few fast players, Thomas Tatlin? Sure, we have a little bit of that, but I think we could definitely use just speed all around. So I'd like to see a speedier team that's threatening, you know, that make me cringe like Denny Bouanga does for LAFC when they get on the ball. You're like, oh, no, I want to see more of that for City. So that's kind of an overall skill or a physical attribute I'd like to see. But I'll tell you what, when it comes to returning players, I'd really like to see some of the original spine there. It probably won't be everybody, and I don't know what Edward Lubin's role is going to be or what his capability is going to be. I totally understand his family situation, but having somebody like Adu come back would be amazing. And I'm a Klaus fan. I know not everybody is always happy with the way Klaus performs and putting the balls in the back of the net himself, but I still think he's very City identity, and I would love to see Klaus be back with the team.
Well, all I heard is you said Denny Bouanga, and I stopped listening, so I think everybody heard it here first. Jen Cease is calling Denny Bouanga to St. Louis City. Did I get that right?
He's amazing. I mean, the guy, you've seen it, Nate. He can be in the 98th minute, score a goal, and still do a flip. I mean, there's just, you know, Sungmin would be great too. I Sungmin would be amazing, but to have somebody of that caliber where you just, as the opponent, go when they get on the ball and you go, oh no, that is what you want to have. You want to have more of those players for City. Marcel Hartl was starting to do that towards the end of the season. So maybe see, you know, he'll be back, of course, but to see players like that with quality consistently and make the other team go, God, we can't let that guy get the ball.
Jen, we appreciate you so much. As always, great to talk City with you, and I'm sure we will be visiting plenty more as the offseason continues and Corey Ray's vision for City unfolds. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Nate. Thanks, Kyle.
And if it hasn't been mentioned on KMOX, I think it probably was at some point, but talking to Jen reminds me. A shout-out to Jen's daughter, Marin. Congratulations for her commitment to play soccer for the St. Louis University Billikens in the coming years. We're going to see plenty of her on the field at Herman Stadium for what has been the dominant women's soccer program in the Atlantic 10. Although this year tripped up in the A-10 semis and then, despite an RPI of 31, left out of the NCAA tournament. So that snapped a string of seven straight years the Billikens women's team had been in the NCAA tournament. The men's team is still kicking, literally and figuratively. They'll have the A-10 semis at Herman Stadium tomorrow night against Davidson, a chance to advance to next weekend's A-10 championship game. Hopefully on Thursday night we'll be able to talk to somebody. I don't know yet if it's going to be somebody from SLU Media or maybe head coach Kevin Kalish, but the plan is to have somebody Billikens men's soccer on for Thursday evening show, because even if they were to lose, they would still have a shot at the NCAA tournament, probably in a largely similar situation to the women's team where they'd kind of be sweating it out during the selection show. But if they win, you'd think that strengthens their cause considerably. And obviously, if they win the next two games and the A-10 tournament title to go with their A-10 regular season title, they would be in the NCAA tournament guaranteed. Speaking of postseason or lack thereof, Mizzou football probably out of the college football playoff now. Probably we're headed that way anyway with a true freshman third-string quarterback. But certainly you'd think that fate is sealed after a home loss to Texas A&M, the third Mizzou defeat of the season. Came in Columbia over the weekend. We'll talk about it after this. Great Bar Sports Open Line continues next.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
Well, call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So, I got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto Owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.